Hey guys, Pastor Jeremiah here. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. Tonight, the sermon will be titled, Repentance. Listen and be blessed. Now, we are in this sermon titled Repentance. And last week, we delved a little bit into it, talking about how our life is called to mirror the Word of God. And a lot of times, that's a very big, grandiose statement. And repentance sometimes is looked for a majority of Christians as you are a terrible person, so you need to repent so that you can feel good, that you feel like you have paid your penance. A lot of times we make repentance about making ourselves feel better. Like you feel bad about some sin you've done, and there's shame, and in order for you to get out of your shame, you have to say you're sorry. But unfortunately, we also live in a world where our repentance happens every day over the same mistakes because it's all about the moment. We feel sorry in this moment, so we apologize. And then the next day, we go and do the same thing. And we talked about how it's so important to live a life of God is allow the Holy Spirit to have complete control of your life. It's not about like, oh, you have to be super religious, you have to go to church, do this and that. It's allowing the love of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, to convict you. Because the Holy Spirit is not someone who forces his way to make you change. And I want to repeat that. God isn't forcing you to change. He's inviting you to change because he loves you and he has a greater plan for your life. If you take it as a forced nature, you won't appreciate the beauty of what that transformation will look like. You'll regret it. You'll be annoyed by it. You'll be like, as we referred to last week, the prodigal son, but I didn't talk about the other son. The son who obeyed his father, did everything he was called to do, but was upset because he wasn't given a banquet. And he harbored resentment and anger toward his brother because how come you're not appreciating me doing the right thing? And sometimes as Christians, we're looking for God to reward us for our good works instead of doing good works to show our love for God. We're so caught up in this rat race of getting rewards. We have goals and we want to achieve them, so much so that we can't appreciate the transforming power of Jesus that causes us to share his love to other people. It's about what Jesus does for me, not what Jesus does through me. And that's really the heart of this is I want us to understand repentance is one of the greatest things in the Bible. Why? Number one, we know, and I shared this was the first message Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You can see it in the Gospels. You see that this is also what John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. He also says, repent. But I want us to point to this verse, which a lot of times we don't really appreciate. Because a lot of times we appreciate, we applaud people who do baptisms, right? And I love it. I celebrate. You're committing your life to Jesus. I love that. But there is a verse in the Bible that talks about a celebration that happens when we do a certain action. And I want us to look at Luke 15, verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7 has this really beautiful statement here that I want you to read, highlight, understand that God isn't a God that wants to condemn you, but wants to rejoice over you through repentance. You read it and it says this: there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Why does the Bible talk about this? And I think one of the many reasons, is because sometimes as Christians, we are way too self-righteous. We feel like we got most of it, we got the majority of it. I don't need to repent for anything. I'm a good Christian. Or we take repentance as like a shame act. Oh, I gotta go to the altar. I'm a bad person. I don't want anyone. Sometimes, like, I feel we like to hide. Like, I don't want to be, the pastor's not calling me out. Like, you can just hide. Like, you don't want to do it because it's more about feeling shame for where you're at instead of feeling the joy that God is wanting to celebrate your desire to honor him. Like, why can't we look at repentance that way? It's because our perspective is wrong. Our perspective is, this is a momentary thing to remind me of my sin, not this is a change of mind, heart, and direction to remind me of my Savior. Because when you have a focus on who Jesus is, repentance becomes something you do in joy. Not something you do in sorrow, not something you do in so much shame. Because here is the question that we are going to struggle with together. As we are called to walk in obedience with his word. And the word of God says, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. We know these verses. You may have heard it many times in your life. But here is the question that the Lord is asking us. God bless you, man. The question that the Lord is challenging us with is this: if Christ is in us, is he on the throne or on the cross still? If Christ is in us, is he on the throne having authority over our life, guiding our direction, or is he still on the cross because we are still crucifying him every time we go back to our sins, we go back to our old ways? We don't want him to have complete authority over our life. So you say, no. And you may be asking, are you serious, Pastor Jeremiah, telling me I'm crucifying Jesus? Well, let us go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. Because as a young adults community, I continually tell you time and time again, if you don't have a scripture for it, don't believe it. So I'm going to give you scripture and I want you to see, is this true? We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 6. And it says in verse 1, we're going to read little portions of this. And like I said, my prayer is that you embrace this and you start having joy in knowing that Christ is going to transform you to be more like him. It says in verse 1, starting in verse 1, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it's impossible in the case of those who once have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and of the power of the ages to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God on their own harm and holding him up to contempt. Sometimes I don't think we recognize how much God grieves over the body of Christ. That we are not drawing from repentance into rejoicing over God over what he's done and said it's about like not feeling shame. I'm here to remind you that God is not the one who brings shame. It's the devil. It says in the Word of God, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. However, if you're not letting the Word of God come alive in your heart and speak truth over you and empower you to live out of your sin, you're going back to elementary teachings. You're going back to, oh, okay. Because here's the thing, there's a lost and dying world that needs you to walk in the fullness of Jesus. And if all I do as a pastor is tell you how to get out of your sin time and time again, you're not going to be empowered to reach the lost. I'm here to empower you with the Word of God so that you walk in the fullness of God. Because there's so much more for you. And sometimes I feel like as Christians, we're like, once we accept Jesus, we're like really excited. And I remember, I've shared it here before. I remember baptizing one individual, and they were so excited that day. I loved the joy. But then they looked at me after service, and they said, "Now what?" And it was a genuine question. It was genuine. It was pure. And I was excited. And I was like, all right, now get plugged in. Now start reading your Bibles. Now start building a community so that you can learn more about what God's plan is for your life. And they got so excited, but after a while, it started fizzling out. And after a while, they were just like attending every now and then. And then they didn't have anyone building them up, so there was no one to push them to draw deeper into Jesus. See, the beauty of community is that it takes you out of isolation where the devil wants you to be. See, the thing is if you're wondering why I'm talking about community, it's because I do not want you to deceive yourself. Because we are our own worst critics, and sometimes we're the worst people to be isolated with. Because we'll get into our heads, we'll condemn ourselves, and we won't let the love of Jesus speak over our lives. Because there are real struggles people go through. And if you ever look at a medical journal or anything about mental health issues, they will tell you, don't be in isolation. They'll seek medical advice. But at bare minimum, they'll say, and I've shared this, be present with someone. And a lot of times, we don't know what the Word of God says because we don't know the Word of God, and we're surrounded with people who don't know the Word of God. So what people do speak over you is their best advice. And I want to tell you, even as a pastor, if I don't give you verses over your situation, you're not going to get the help you need. I'm telling you that as a pastor, if you don't get verses about why you should do what you do, then it's just my mere belief. But as Christians, we're told through the Word of God that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We're taught. But the thing is, are we earnest in our desire to honor God with this life? Or are we okay with our casual life of repenting and struggling with sin? Because I want you to believe this to be true. Your struggle with sin does not have to be lifelong. You can be tempted to go into sin throughout your life, but your struggle to fall into sin is not meant to be lifelong. And that goes with everything in life. I am not a believer that once you love Jesus, all of a sudden, all the temptations of this world, lust, greed, envy, gossip, just evaporates. I wish that were true. Oh, man. The world would be a lot healthier with Christians like that. Unfortunately, we live in a world when we surrender to Jesus, it puts us into a place where we have access to the Holy Spirit. But that's not the end of the story. You have to give the Holy Spirit access to change your life. Repentance is not merely about telling God you're sorry. It's about opening the door for the Holy Spirit to come change you. And a lot of times I feel like, and I'll speak from personally, I made repentance about me falling into sin. Not about changing my life. Not about surrendering to God's will. Not about getting into His Word. It was just about, I want to not feel bad about my sin anymore. And guess what? I found that you can pray that prayer, God, I repent, and you'll still feel really crummy. You'll still feel like, you'll feel icky. Just like a disgust. You won't feel whole. That isn't what God is desiring in your life. When God says in His Word, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When He redeems you, He sets you free. It's supposed to lift your spirit. And a lot of times the reason why it doesn't lift our spirit is because there's this lie that the enemy plants that says you're going to fall back tomorrow. You're going to fall back the next day. And then you're fighting this. And the world knows it. They call it fighting your inner demons, they say. Right? And as Christians, we believe it. But we don't battle against it because our lifestyle doesn't represent the Word. And I want us to understand that you can only walk in true repentance when you walk in full obedience. Full obedience to God means surrendering to His will, not your will. Because the only way you can stop crucifying Jesus on the cross is if you join Him on the cross. And it says in Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read the full portion, that our old self was crucified with Him. But before I dive deeper, I just want to just pray over us as we're reading this, because I don't, like I said, my goal is not to bring any condemnation or shame. I want repentance to be look like a celebration of getting on the right track. When you get on the right track, it's a reason to rejoice. Why do we make it so shame-filled? Why do we make it as if like, oh, who needs to go to the altar today? No. I want to be made whole with Jesus. I want to be on the right track with the Lord. So I want to surrender to Him. And I encourage you, whoever it may be, that tonight God wants to rejoice over you. God wants to all of heaven wants to celebrate over you. As we read this word, let your mind be focused on the celebration, not the shame. Because as we've heard the word, it said all of heaven is rejoicing. Show me the verse where it says God wants to shame you. So let us pray and let the Holy Spirit start that work right now. God, I pray as we hear your word, as we've been hearing your word, Holy Spirit, would you destroy, abolish, remove every lie of the enemy that has caused many believers to fall back into sin? Has caused believers to lose hope about freedom, about true repentance, that they would have to continue in this life cycle. God, I pray against those who are struggling with trying to be perfect. God, you're not calling us to perfection. You're calling us to be perfected by your blood. And that's enough. And God, I pray that as we read your word, as we recognize what you call us to do, though it is a struggle, I thank you that you join us. You're with us and you're celebrating over us. And that many more people tonight will experience the power of Jesus truly transform their life. And I give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's look at Romans chapter 6. And it says, verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. To make you obey its passions, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. I am so grateful that the Word of God provides hope, that His grace still abounds here, that His grace is still extended. And what it starts off talking about is saying that when we accept Jesus, we're saying we're going to die with him so that we can live in his fullness. But sometimes I feel as a Christian, especially in our Western culture, we love talking about it being a verbal declaration alone and about a shift in morality. Those are the two focuses I find in the Christian realm in the Western hemisphere. Is that we focus so much on about being morally superior and declaring with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, but in our hearts, we still have complete control. We still love the things we love. We still enjoy doing things we're like, I don't know if it's not sin, but hey, it's not written in the Bible, so it can't harm me. Or the other thing is, well, I don't know. So I'll just do it. And the thing is as Jesus has called us into life with him, he's calling us to not constantly feel like this life is meant to be a roller coaster. Where it's like, you're dead to sin today, and then tomorrow you're alive, but then next week Thursday, you're dead. Then you go back to, it's just like a, it's like this never-ending journey of like, am I dead? Am I alive? Am I dead? Alive? I don't know. Then you're a zombie and it's just crazy. I feel that as Christians, we we relegate Jesus to occasional adherence to the word, not a full commitment. And we see that this is true in our world today because the lack of commitment for anything has gone out the window. Point in case, back in Jesus' time, if you just simply said, hey, I'm going to do this, you were held to that. Now, you have to have a contract, you have to have an attorney present or someone there for it to hold value in the court of law, and you can do whatever you want. You can tell someone and lie to them the next day. Happens all the time in relationships. Happens all the time in churches. And then people are disappointed. People feel neglected. And why I say there's a call to repentance is because God is wanting us all to experience like a life that is alive and constantly understanding what life looks like. Like life looks like with Jesus. For example, when a baby is born, it's alive, right? It's out there. But do you think a baby understands life the way you understand life? There's experience that happens. There's things that you learn through the course of your life that can't be shoved in one day to a baby. That would be way too crazy. Please, no one try to do that with my future child. But we try to make Christianity like that, where all of a sudden you're like, you're a Christian one day and you're like, all right, I got to go and do everything right now for Jesus. I got to be a mature adult. There's a progression of our faith that we're constantly like, okay, one step forward and then no turning back. The reason why I say that is because we live in the culture of extremes where we love doing things occasionally. Case in point, I'll use my life as an example. And I've shared this with the Sunday school group, and I'm going to share it now because I'm the easiest person right now for this example. I decided, me and my non-athletically trained body right now, decided that I should do 10 miles with Judah. That was a great moment. Loved it. Then I was like, 8 tons, I was going to go for 10 tons. And I was like, my body's about to give out. I have to do worship on Sunday, 3 services, probably not the best idea. Also, my wife calling me in the middle and telling me that I better not show up disabled at home really motivated me not to do 10 tons. But why I share this story is because the next day, I couldn't sit properly. I had to fall into every chair that I came into. It was pathetic. I couldn't bend down. And my wife has a big belly. She can't bend down. It looked hideous at home. I mention these things is because I was able to do one thing right for a day. I felt great. But I wasn't able to consistently do it the next day. Matter of fact, I was just telling the guys, I squatted down earlier today and I'm like, wow, this is still painful. And it's been like 5 days. My body really needs training. But the thing is, you get so excited for one day's success that you neglect years and years of consistency. And I feel like as Christians, we love one-day events. We love conferences. We love moments where like, yes, revival today happened, Jesus. But what about consistency that is so unglamorous is the fact that no one will appreciate it. No one's going to tell you, oh, great job, you read your Bible today. No one's going to be like, oh, wow, you spent 10 minutes of prayer. Great job. But if you do an event, big celebration. Everyone's going to support you. You're going to love it. And we're so driven by like motivation from other people that a lot of times in Christianity, we've lost the motivation to be disciplined in the true things that matter. The true things that will actually show results as you grow in your faith. And we make it so much about, okay, as long as you can do 1 hour a day of prayer, 1 hour in the Bible, you're a good Christian. It's so toxic. Because what it does is it creates a culture of failure and feeling shame and neglect. I can't talk about how I'm struggling to read the word because that's not the standard. What if I'm here to tell you is today we start a standard. Today, if you take one step forward and be consistent with it for 2-3 weeks, praise God. I am tired of people feeling so belittled about what they can grow because it stifles you from future growth. It makes you think that you can't see the end goal. But what if we just took it one day at a time? God, you're calling me to be dead to my sin. What's one way I can set boundaries in my life so that sin doesn't have a hold on me? And then the next day, you go, okay, God, I'm doing this. I'm going to be consistent. Be for a week. Have accountability. Talk about it. Then move one step closer. Because Jesus isn't looking for one day success. He's looking for your life to be completely transformed by him. Because until we've all learned what it is to fully surrender, you're going to live in these extremes. I can say that because I myself have been in the extremes for too long. And I don't want anyone to miss out on something beautiful. Because here's the thing, there's such a lost world out there that if they start seeing you be faithful in the little, as the Word of God says, they will see the glory of God revealed through your life. Stop looking for the next great revival or the next great miracle. God wants to use you in your alone time. He wants to use you when you're reading the Bible and you're just with him. He wants to use you when you read the verse today. He wants to use you so much more than what you expect. But you have to start with a fresh mindset. And a fresh mindset starts with acknowledging that the old must be done away with. And that's where the word repentance comes from. Having a change of mind, heart, and direction. That is the call that God is calling us to, is to change our spiritual trajectory from people who love hitting home runs for people who are just willing to show up, be faithful, learn and grow as the Holy Spirit leads them. If you feel like you've been falling in your faith, then start building a community that, number one, allows you to confess your sins. Here's the problem. In church, we're too afraid to share our burdens. But the Word of God actually goes against that because it says in the Word to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. You're fulfilling God's law when you carry someone else's burden. But are we creating an environment that promotes that? And here's what this is the thing that church does that's always so funny, is many in church hear this and they're like, all right, who's going to start first? Just like look around, like, oh, nobody's doing it. All right, I guess we're not doing this. And we wait for someone else to confess to then feel safe. But what if the Holy Spirit was given for you to empower you with boldness to take that first step? You know how many times I have heard from people who came to the altar this simple phrase, I was about to not go, but then I asked God, if one person went, I would go. You have no idea how many times I have heard that testimony time and time again, where someone was inspired by one person's boldness. I want to tell you, you taking a step of faith, admitting that you have done something wrong, you have not embraced the gospel for what it should be. You've gone through the extremes of Christianity instead of being just consistent with the little. And you're saying, God, I want to repent. I want to start fresh. I want to be excited about what you're going to do in my life because I believe you're going to speak to me in your word. When I read the verse of the day, I'm going to be excited because I know that that's sufficient. And then I'm going to desire to learn a little bit more and I'm going to read more. And then I'm going to start talking to you. Don't make it a time frame. Don't make it about whose standards you're fulfilling. Make it about your relationship with the love of Jesus that spurs you. Because it's in that that you're going to find healing. You're going to find joy. It's not going to be, oh, because Pastor Jeremiah told you. It's because Christ's love compels us. As the word of God says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because I know my Savior was on the cross, I want to put him on the throne of my life. I want to put myself with him and say, Jesus, I'm willing to suffer with you. I'm willing to surrender my control, my ideas, my future. What I think the church needs to be. Because here's the thing, sometimes you need to change your understanding of what church needs to be for you. Because you are the church. And if you don't understand what you're supposed to be for the church, how can you understand what the church needs to be for you? I want the body of Christ to come alive with the power of God and his word, his presence, and his people. Because it's when the body of Christ recognizes where we are that really the world will see Jesus. You don't have to wait for a big event or anything. You just have to simply do the work, as missionaries would say, which is number one, pray. Number one, simple, pray. Seek God, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take time. Just first of all, just be still with this because this is a weighty word. It's like taking recognition of, hey, I've been trying to go to the extremes and then telling God I'm going to do these big commitments and then I'm not able to achieve them after a week. Instead, just making a small goal. Have accountability. When you fall into sin, say, like, hey, I'm going to protect what I hold sacred, believing that the word of God calls me to a life set apart. And I'm going to have brothers or sisters around me that's going to encourage me to do that. I'm going to confess and say I'm sorry to the people I've offended. Here's the thing. I don't think we do that enough in church. We offend a lot of people and we tell God, hey, I'm sorry, but then we don't tell the person. We don't apologize. Don't you think there's a lot of offense that's been left unsettled by our inaction to also address the people we've hurt? And that's where I believe the Holy Spirit comes in. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you who's the person you need to talk to. Not me. I am not the Holy Spirit. There's only one. And he's inside of you. That's what I love about this, is he's inside of you. And heaven is about to rejoice. Heaven's, you may feel sorry for the way you live, but I'm telling you, God is wanting to embrace you, love on you, celebrate that today you're going to walk in the fullness of his calling over your life. But it takes a complete change of mind, heart, and direction. Your mind has to be set on, hey, I can't be doing this off and on Christianity anymore. Your heart has to be set on is, God, you can have everything. You can have complete control. And then you have to make sure your path, the way you're living, the way you've oriented your life needs to be set on heavenlier, heaven, not on the things of this world. So let us take this moment and just pause and ask God, is there something in my life that I have not fully surrendered, or am I living in the extremes of Christianity where it's about my week of living clean, or my month of living clean, or my day? Or is it really about a relationship with Jesus, that he's encouraging you one step at a time? And if it's not about the one step at a time, I want to make tonight a time to repent, a time to confess, and a time to let God rejoice. So let us take this moment to pause and allow the Lord to speak over us. Thanks for listening to our podcast. My prayer is that you are empowered with the truth of the Word of God and understanding what true repentance is for your life. I pray that you would rejoice because God is celebrating as you walk in repentance towards Him. May God bless you and encourage you with this word. Thanks for listening to our podcast. My prayer is that this message strengthened and encouraged you to understand repentance.